Welcome to Yes in Zine Pod. I'm Mac. With me is Non-Dairy Giant. We're going to be your host today. This time we are talking to Emma Acosta at Pocket Compass Co. Hey there, Emma. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, of course. Would you like to take a minute to introduce yourself and let us know what you do in the indie tabletop role-playing scene?
Of course. My name is Emma Costa. I am an illustrator and a designer. For the past year or so, I've been involved in several tabletop role-playing game projects. You might know me from stuff like My Body is a Cage or Mouse Reader, which I've contributed to as both an illustrator and as a writer. And most importantly, last year I crowdfunded and published my first standalone game, Crescent Moon, which is a feelings-delving RPG about brave children going on fantastical adventures. It's kind of related to the project that I am preparing now for SEMO, which is going to be my second big project, and that is kind of following along the footsteps of Crescent Moon, actually.
Awesome. Yeah, well, we're here to talk about, it's called The Exiles, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the elevator pitch? It sounds like it's an expansion to Crescent Moon.
It's definitely an expansion. It's a dark fantasy point crawl, and it takes a lot of the groundwork laid by Crescent Moon and expands on it both mechanically with how the game plays and also thematically with the kind of stories that you can tell in it. So instead of feel-good fantasy stories about children, we are instead telling tales about young outcasts banished from the human realm and forced to fight their way out of hell as they grapple with their inner demons.
So for me personally, what resonates with, or at least what I can kind of think of as a touchstone would be, you know, playing through Chain of Memories, one of the Kingdom Hearts games. But that's just me. What would you say for you was like a big media touchstone or like cultural reference? Like what inspired you to write this game?
That's an interesting question. The Exiles in particular is very much fueled by my own experiences. It is autobiographical in some ways, I guess in the same way that Crescent Moon was in its own fashion. Both as a queer woman and as an immigrant, there's just something very visceral about the baggage that I carry in everyday life and that I see a lot of my friends also dealing with that I wanted to express with this game. So while there is a component of classical European fantasy dressing on the game's aesthetic, the main thing that gives it weight for me is kind of like that human experience at the core of it.
Cool, cool.
It sounds like there's some amount of inbuilt setting or world in your game. Is there any bit of that, you know, specific chunk of lore or the setting that really sticks out to you as your favorite?
That's an interesting question. With Crescent Moon, I specifically avoided doing any kind of lore building because I wanted the table to construct their own world, essentially. And with The Exiles, I am getting the chance to flesh out the world a little more. I would say that my favorite kind, like it's still kind of vague, you know, like a lot of it that is left to interpretation. I think just the setup of like having to be sent to this place and having to deal with the relationship between the human world you were exiled from and this kind of like hellscape question mark that you have to traverse is something that I am really enjoying. And one of my favorite things is that you have a cursed map that's called the Path. You get to use that in game to engage with the travel mechanics, which are kind of like a point crawl because you decide where you want to go next and each place has its own set of characters and situations, but that is pretty much an in-game element, and one of the players has to essentially carry this thing around, which is very dangerous and possibly consuming. A lot of the setting elements are things like that. They are not like necessarily super long or super detailed, but I try to make them very punchy and memorable.
Yeah, it seems like you grab onto the core of what means something to the players and give them the tools to flesh out something meaningful, which sounds really rad.
Mm-hmm.
And also very smart.
Yeah, for sure. Like, especially compared to the last project, like, this is taking it a bit further, where I give just a little more detail, but I still very much want the table to make their own relationships between things. So it's kind of like you have a bunch of dots and you have to, like, establish the connection between them, and that makes it very unique to each table, I would hope.
I think we try and do something in our game probably to a less direct degree. Sounds really interesting to play.
So, and this might be a question for Crescent Moon and the Exiles. What's the game sort of history? What influenced your choice of mechanics?
So the primary influence for Crescent Moon in terms of gameplay is Forge in the Dark design. That is, games that are influenced by Blades in the Dark by John Harper. That said, there's also a big component from Powered by the Apocalypse design that I've also taken, and that takes the shape mainly in the form of moves. So if you're familiar with Forge in the Dark, most things are handled through concrete rolls.
Mm-hmm.
But in Crescent Moon, and in the Exile especially, I really wanted to provide specific fictional triggers that could bring, like, very cinematic scenes that aren't so much concerned with, like, very crunchy fictional positioning, but with fleshing out cool moments, essentially. So while there is still a lot of Forge in the Dark influence in how the game plays, I've tried to simplify it and streamline it so that you are more focused on the kind of scenes and the inner world of your character. Like, what are you feeling? How are you dealing with that? I think it comes across as something that's more character-driven and less about mechanical challenges or mechanical intricacy.
So, yeah, Jian and I have played Scum and Villainy, which is a sci-fi Forge game, and we played some Apocalypse World games, and I know that I found them to be very good at lending to that cinematic experience, as you were saying. So I'm excited to see how your game kind of plays into that.
Thank you.
I know we just talked a bit about, you know, laying off of the mechanical direction, but is there a specific piece of tech, for lack of a better word, something clever or something you figured out that you think your game kind of brings to the table that sticks out to you as your favorite bit of rules, so to speak?
I am very happy with how the point crawl rules are coming together. As a fan of exploration games, I'm having a lot of fun with that structure. But actually, my favorite piece of design right now comes in the form of Undoings, which are a new character mechanic that all players have at their disposal. And basically what they are is something that your character is ashamed or repressing or just fearful of. They are toxic beliefs that they've been brought to believe because of their upbringing in the society. And throughout the course of the game, you get to test these undoings by saying how the action that you are about to take is challenging those beliefs. On the one hand, that makes for very interesting character development, but it also has very useful mechanical advantages, because that's how you get to use Devil's Bargains in the game. Those aren't available in the original game, but in this expansion, you can get plus one die all the time if you take that Devil's Bargains, and you also say how you are testing your beliefs. And eventually, if you test a belief enough times, you get to make it into a truth, which is something much more positive and healthy that your character learns along the way. And that's one of the ways that you get to do advancement. I am very happy with that mechanic, mostly because a lot of this game is very harsh. It's really not in your favor. A lot of mechanics are meant to consume you or destroy you or just hurt you in the long run. But this is one of those last beacons of hope that you can latch onto. And it feels very effective to me in bringing that contrast between, like, hope, but also doom.
No, I think that's good. It's something that, for me, I can certainly relate. I'm willing to bet that most people that play your game are going to find allows them to get into their character a little better.
I enjoy the idea of confronting those traumatic responses head on and resolving them.
Yeah, it's definitely a delicate topic. Like, I really encourage people to make use of safety tools when they start playing this. It's all over the text to please use safety tools. But it's been an interesting challenge to try to balance, like, having to write this very toxic stuff while also being very clear of where you are coming from with it and what your intent is and where the character should be going. But so far, I found the players to be fairly into it, so I think that's a good signal.
Definitely, definitely. So tell us a little bit about your crowdfunding campaign.
The Exiles is going to be crowdfunding on the later half of February, maybe the start of March, depending on how things go. It's going to be primarily hosted on Kickstarter, but I'm also looking into the possibility of opening pre-orders through Ko-fi or some other secondary platform. The base game is basically done and written. It's going to be released for free alongside the campaign. And mostly what I'm hoping to achieve with the crowdfunding campaign is to be able to fund a physical edition. So that's the primary goal. I have planned out to have this box set that's going to come into an envelope, and it's going to include everything that you need to play, which I think it's going to be pretty fun. And I also have some collaborators lined up, which hopefully we'll be able to join if we reach enough funding, and they will be able to flesh out the game with their own ideas and with characters and locations and just with more perspectives than just my own. So far we have a couple of writers, we have a guest illustrator, and we also have a couple of people doing editing and support. So it's like a pretty small team, but hopefully we manage to make this into, I don't know if the best it can be, but at least a more fleshed out and standalone thing, which I think will be very nice.
Gotcha. And anything beyond just your funding goals? I know you talked about a print version and some additional stuff. Do you have any unannounced plans for the Exiles or projects beyond that that you're looking forward to?
I do have some unannounced things that I am hoping that we can fund, but I'm going to hold on to that secret just now. Wink, wink.
All right, little mystery.
Yeah. Beyond just this project, I am hoping that this crowdfunding campaign will allow me to also support other stuff that I have on the back burner. While, you know, I am still growing and I am operating at a very small scale, so I might still have to rely on some kind of pre-order system for the other projects that I have planned for this year. I am hoping that with the Exiles, I can at least gain a little more stability so that those things can happen more smoothly. Hopefully we get to not only fund this project, but also help get in the way some new stuff that I have planned for 2022 and 2023.
Very awesome.
So, Emma, where can people find you online?
You can find me and my art at emma-acosta.art. You can also find Pocket Compass, which is my independent label under which I publish all of my work and hopefully the work of other people soon, at pocketcompass.co. That's the same handle for Twitter and Instagram. If you want to get notified of when the campaign launches, the best way to do that, if there's not a preview link available, that is to sign up to our newsletter, which is available on the site. And that way you will know when this project drops and also fun news that happen along the way.
Cool. I've already got you popped up on Twitter on a couple of tabs, so you can expect at least two more follows. Anything else you want to share before we sign off?
I'll just say that I really appreciate having the space to talk about my project in here. So thank you so much to Justin DePot and to Marx for setting up this space. And I just hope that all of the projects highlighted so far are able to get funded and that we continue to grow as a community and to support each other. I am certainly looking forward to Nuked. So good luck to you and to everyone else getting their projects underway.
Thanks so much for taking this time, Emma. It's awesome hearing about your game. I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes out and what comes next. So, you know, best of luck with everything and have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. And thanks again to Mac, Non-Dairy Giant and Emma for the interview. As always, you can find all of the links in the episode description. Today's episode is sponsored by Kelly Bean of Thick Thief Games. The Skills to Pay the Bills launches January 15th on itch.io, itch funding from February 1st. I know, OSR games don't have skills for a reason, but it's my 3-X baggage and I'll take it wherever I please, even back to B-X. Plus, I'm autistic, so when I don't have the words to be diplomatic, maybe I would rather roll for it? The Skills to Pay the Bills is a print-at-home trifold skill tree for fantasy TTRPGs. It's designed to be used alongside your existing character sheet or even stapled to it. It aims to help players and GMs expand the capabilities of characters in their games. Behind the scenes, it will serve as a beta test for the skill system in my work-in-progress, picaresque, post-human RPG Adventure Apocalypse, inspired by the Dying Earth series and Fallout and Redwall, with a light-hearted spin akin to Adventure Time. During Zine Month, I will be opening it up to itch funding in order to pay my own bills. I plan on releasing a series of one-page pamphlets that will each serve as a piece of Adventure Apocalypse and can be assembled into what will essentially be the alpha version. The Skills to Pay the Bills is the first published work by Thick Thief Games and is itch funding from February 1st. To complement the Yes Indeed Pod event, all through February, Yes Indeed Pod is running a Patreon drive. We're trying to hit $200 per month so that we can continue to pay all of our guests as well as hire a podcast transcriber. If you sign up during February, on top of the usual benefits of being a subscriber, you can also get some exclusive merchandise. Sign up at $2 to get a handwritten postcard, as well as regular shoutouts and access to our guest and subscriber Discord server. At $5 per month, you can also join our monthly editing and chat streams, and I'll send you a handwritten greetings card and your choice of Yes Indeed Pod stickers. And at $20 per month, join our book club, where every month you get free PDFs from one of our guests. As well as a greetings card and stickers, you'll also get an exclusive, personalised faux leather bookmark for your RPG reading. So remember, if you love Yes Indeed Pod and want to support what we do and get some exclusive merchandise, be sure to check out patreon.com/yesindeedpod. If you can't commit regularly, you can always help out by rating and reviewing the show wherever you find your podcast, or by donating through the Ko-Fi page at ko-fi.com/yesindeedpod. Of course, you can always reach out to me through Twitter at yesindeedpod, that's yesindeedpod. I'd love dearly to hear from you. Lastly, music credits. All music is adapted from Nothing Like Captain Crunch from Slam Funk by Broke for Free, available on the Free Music Archive and released under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 Unported License. Until next time, remember, does indie need you? Yes, indeed.